KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have mostly clear skies, 2 degrees below zero. We look forward to be mostly sunny today, a high of 10. There is a wind chill advisory in effect until noon for the entire listening area. For wind chills as low as 25 degrees below zero. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Rex Pharmacy, where they'll help you stay on track with your medications. Ask them about no-wait refills and Rex packs. A woman was injured during a single vehicle rollover accident Sunday afternoon in Harrison County. The Iowa State Patrol says 20-year-old Carly Ewalt of Manila was traveling northbound on Highway 191 at around 2:05 p.m. when her 2014 Chevy Malibu lost traction on the road. The vehicle crossed the center line and went off the road to the left before it rolled over and came to rest on its wheels. Ewalt was transported by LifeNet to the UNMC in Omaha for treatment of serious but what were considered to be non-life-threatening injuries. An out-of-control SUV struck an Iowa State Patrol vehicle Saturday afternoon in Pottawatomie County, but no injuries were reported. The patrol says 18-year-old Kelsey Martin of Minden was driving a 2008 Ford Explorer eastbound on Interstate 480 at around 2:30 p.m. when she tried to merge into the other lane in order to make room for an ISP cruiser parked on the shoulder of the road with its emergency lights on. As she merged, her SUV went out of control and hit the side of the bridge at mile marker 1 before sliding into the rear passenger side of the 2013 Dodge Charger patrol vehicle. The trooper was conducting traffic control for a previous incident when his car was struck. A woman from Nebraska was arrested at around 4:30 a.m. Saturday following a traffic stop in Adams County. Deputies stopped a vehicle speeding 81 miles per hour in a 55 zone. And upon further investigation, Caitlin Richards of Omaha was taken into custody on an arrest warrant through the Council Bluffs Police Department for fraud. Richards was transported to the Adams County Jail and held on $5,000 bond while awaiting transport to the Pott County Jail. She was additionally cited for speeding and having no valid driver's license. The Taylor County Sheriff's Office reports deputies had conducted a traffic stop Saturday in the 1700 block of Highway 2 near Bedford, where a vehicle was pulled over for an equipment violation or violations. During the course of the traffic stop, the canine SEBA arrived and was deployed and gave a positive alert to the odor of narcotics. Two people were arrested, 36-year-old Kenneth Johnson of Bedford, who was charged with possession of a controlled substance, and he was being held in the Taylor County Jail on a $1,000 cash bond, and 37-year-old Shannon Ingraldi of Foster, Missouri, who was charged with possession of drug paraphernalia, and she has since been released from custody. In other news, some 150 years after suffering the loss of its homeland at the hands of the U.S. government, the Ponca tribe of Nebraska is again fighting efforts by other governments to take something it has built, and that is a new casino on the banks of the Missouri River. The $10 million Prairie Flower Casino opened in November with 200 slot-style machines, some 10 years after the tribe began its effort to open the casino. The neighboring city of Council Bluffs is home to three other casinos. That city and the states of Iowa and Nebraska are suing to have the other casino shut down. Central to those efforts is the casino's location. It's in Carter Lake, the only Iowa city on the western side of the Missouri River that is essentially in the heart of Omaha, Nebraska, where casinos are prohibited. And the managers of the state's airports are dealing with increased passenger traffic, more cargo, and bigger planes, and they're seeing a significant increase in state taxpayer support over the next decade.
We're doing what we can with the funds we have, but we got a long way to go.
I should say they're seeking state taxpayer support. That's Marty Lenz, director of the Eastern Iowa Airport in Cedar Rapids. He says a recent survey of businesses showed air service was one of the three key factors for business expansion and location decisions.
And you don't have to look very far to see that play out. Caterpillar pulled out of Peoria, Illinois, cited as air service connectivity as part of the reason they pulled their headquarters after 100 years of being in that community.
The eight Iowa airports with commercial passenger service, including Burlington, Cedar Rapids, Des Moines, Dubuque, Fort Dodge, Mason City, Sioux City, and Waterloo, are asking for $13.5 million in state support in each of the next 10 years. Len says the money is needed because Iowa's airports need to be updated. In Cedar Rapids, they had record passenger traffic and a 22% increase in cargo traffic just last year.
Because of the growth in both segments, we're having what I call some elbow room issues on the apron because the airplanes have gotten bigger, so we need more wingtip clearance. And so we're working to separate the air cargo to a new location on the airfield.
And some of that work has started in Cedar Rapids. The state's largest airport in Des Moines is facing the same issues. A.J. Graff, director of operations at the Des Moines Airport Authority, says the passengers are seeing it.
You know, our hold rooms were designed to accommodate DC-9 aircraft back in the 60s when those were built. The aircraft we have at those gates now are significantly larger, especially in the early morning, that peak period. It's standing room only for passengers as they wait to get on their aircraft.
And Graff says the Des Moines Airport has to be creative to accommodate flights at times when the airlines want to fly them. The Iowa Public Airports Association is asking legislators to set aside $3 million as well in each of the next 10 years for the 110 general aviation airports around the state. The total request for all Iowa airports is $16.5 million for next year alone. In the current year, Iowa's 118 airports are splitting $2.2 million in state funding. In the funeral announcements, Patricia Pat Dvorak, age 86, of Elkhorn and formerly of Atlantic, has died at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. A massive Christian burial for Pat Dvorak will be today at 10 o'clock at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Sharon Blanchard, age 61, of Fontenelle, died February 24th at her home. A celebration of life service for Sharon Blanchard will be today at 11 o'clock at the Fontenelle United Methodist Church with a luncheon to follow. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Eleanor Caroline Brown, age 96, of Avoca, died Friday. A massive Christian burial for Eleanor Brown will be tomorrow at 10:30 at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. Juanita Wood, age 97, of Greenfield, died Saturday in Indianola. Funeral services for Juanita Wood will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has arrangements. Tammy Green Mangner, age 51, of Hamlin, died Friday in Lake City. Funeral services for Tammy Green Mangner will be held Wednesday at 2 o'clock at the Lampy Funeral Home in Lake City. Judy Rafter, age 79, of Greenfield, died Saturday at Greenfield Rehab and Healthcare. Funeral services for Judy Rafter are pending at Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Kenneth Bartlett, age 90, of Creston and formerly of Orient, died Friday in Creston. Funeral services for Kenneth Bartlett are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. And Marge Hightoff, age 98, of Panora and formerly of Manning, died Friday in Panora. Services for Marge Hightoff are pending at Odie Funeral Home in Manning. The news was brought to you by Rex Pharmacy in Atlantic. The prices you need, the service you deserve. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.